They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights.
On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Radio Fairfax, I'm Sue Bartholomew, and in the studio with me today is Frank Short. Frank, thank you for joining us today.
Always fun to be here, Sue. Not as much fun given what we have to talk about, but it's still fun.
It's always fun. I always enjoy having you in here. Usually I'm in here on my own talking to someone on the phone. So when I have a warm body across the table from me, that's neat. So, all right, Frank, what's going on? We're losing rights left, right, and center, aren't we?
Yeah, we are. Usually we do this as a St. Patrick's Day show, and we gave some thought to whether to wait for St. Patrick's Day this year, and we decided not to. And the reason we decided not to was that some of the things that have happened in the House of Delegates that have been very bad for homeowners in Virginia who live in homeowners associations or condominiums can still be fixed because these bills are on their way to the state Senate. And there is an opportunity in the state Senate, particularly in the Senate Committee for General Laws, that will get these things to make sure that these bills either don't go forward or that the provisions in them that we think are particularly bad get taken out.
So you want to give us a rundown of what these bills are? What are they trying to do to us, Frank?
Well, the theme in these bills appears to be to grant greater power, particularly greater punitive power, or greater unilateral power over the governing documents to homeowners associations and the boards of directors of those associations, which, as we've talked about many times, tend to be heavily influenced by a trade association called the Community Association Institute.
And it seems to me sometimes there's a knee-jerk reaction to things that happen. The big case this year is the Ferran case. Last year, day one, I just interviewed them, and what I liked was they seemed to have restored a sense of community in Old Belhaven, which is something that just doesn't seem to exist in any other HOA anywhere because they've got these powers. People are afraid. There's no community anymore, is there?
No, and it's unfortunate that, you know, a judge one time, I believe, described a prospective hanging as something that wondrously focuses your ability to concentrate on something. And what happened with Old Belhaven was the fact that they were well into bankruptcy proceedings and were about to have to sell their only strip of common area to finance their attorney fees,
yeah,
for their CAI attorney. That wondrously focused their attention, and they wound up passing a set of very good governing documents. Whether those would go through in many other associations, I'm not sure. But as some of these other associations wind up getting into the well-deserved trouble that Old Belhaven got into because they were blatantly violating the governing documents and the law, they wound up coming full circle, and they've got good documents now that that basically empower the board of directors to take care of the common areas. And I stopped talking because the board of directors can't do anything else.
Yeah.
Which is a real good thing for the board of directors to be able to do, as opposed to running kangaroo courts and investigating homeowners and trying to fine people and penalize everybody. They take care of the common areas, and if they have a problem with a homeowner, they go to a real court with a real judge, and they're very careful about how they do it because they've seen what happens to them when they're not real careful.
Well, yeah, I think they had to pay all of the Ferran's legal fees as well, and that didn't sit too well with them.
So. No, that didn't sit too well with them, and the response to that is one of the bills we're going to talk about tonight.
Well, let's get to the bill, Frank. Let's talk about the bill.
All right, well, I'm going to take these things in chronological order by bill number.
All right.
And the first one that we'll talk about is House Bill 566 that was introduced by Delegate Watts, who's from right up close to us in Annandale, Virginia. And Delegate Watts thought it would be a real good idea to take the late fee provision that's in the Property Owners Association Act right now that says if you're 60 days behind in your assessments, you can be charged a late fee of 5%. Now, for those of you who think, well, 5% interest, that isn't too bad. I didn't say 5% interest, folks. I said
5%. 5%
of 5% of what you owe. 5% of your assessment.
Ooh.
5% of what you're late on. And they didn't actually say 5% of what you're late on. They said you can't charge more than the penalty that's prescribed in the Code of Virginia Section 58.1-3916. That's where the 5% amount comes from. Well, 58.1-3915 is the penalty that the state of Virginia, the Commonwealth of Virginia, is empowered to charge if you don't pay your taxes. And we just decided to take that governmental penalty and allow homeowners associations to do that. Now, Delegate Watts, the intent of her bill was to shorten the period from 60 days, or you were 60 days late before this penalty became available to the association, and let them do it for anybody who was 30 days late.
I think, yeah, there was a recent article in the Post about people having a hard time making the payments as it is, so she's making it that much more difficult for them.
Well, that's the idea, Shu, because see, what we've talked about on this show before is the late fee, attorney's cost, non-judicial foreclosure, death spiral. You don't pay on time, so they assess a late fee. You don't pay the full 5% late fee, so you're still late, you see, because we're going to treat this as an assessment.
Yes.
And so you're still late.
Yeah.
And now we can charge another late fee. And now we can bring our pals, the CAI attorneys, in, and they get into the act, and they start writing letters, and they start charging attorney fees. And pretty soon, you're really over your head. And then we have non-judicial foreclosure, where we can sell your home on the courthouse steps without ever going in front of a judge.
Thank you, Delegate Watts.
Well, unfortunately for Delegate Watts, and fortunately for the rest of us, and really about the only bright spot I can talk about tonight, is that when this actually got in front of the committees, they said, no, Delegate Watts, we're going to take your 30 days out and strike it and restore the 60-day time limit. Before the associations can charge this 5% penalty. So that level of protection is still available, such as it is. They can still charge 5%, but before they can charge 5%, you have to be 60 days late.
But Frank, what if the governing documents, because our governing documents doesn't authorize them to charge 5%?
Well, our governing documents don't. Most of the governing documents in new associations basically say the board of directors can do whatever they want. But the way this statute is written says, except to the extent that the condominium instruments or the homeowners association declaration or rules or regulations promulgated pursuant thereto provide otherwise, then the executive organ, that's the board of directors, may impose a late fee. Well, in our association, the governing documents, specifically the declaration itself, say here's the remedy of the association if you're late. They get to charge 6%, Sue, not 5%, but it's 6% interest, not 6%, 6% per annum interest on what you're late, not a 6% or even a 5% penalty.
Yeah.
And if you look at what you're making on your certificates or deposits or money market funds, you're not getting anything close to 6%, but that wasn't good enough,
That's
Sue.
That's not good enough. Yeah. Well, I think the message here, Frank, is that make sure you read your governing documents and know what they say, because just because it's in the law doesn't necessarily mean that your association has that authority, right, Frank?
Absolutely right. You have to know your governing documents, because associations will take whatever provision of either the law or the governing documents they consider most favorable to them,
mm-hmm.
and they'll say, well, see here, it says we can charge 5%. They won't tell you what the governing documents say, and they won't tell you what the statute says other than to summarize, well, we're allowed to charge 5%.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is if you have a CAI-affiliated attorney who decides that maybe you need to rewrite your governing documents to make them comply with the law, show him, her the door, kick them out. You don't need to amend your governing documents to comply with the law. That's ridiculous, right, Frank?
Yeah, I agree.
All right, I will shut up and let you go on. I know you've got more to say.
Well, the next bill that we're going to talk about is House Bill 530. And this was a bill introduced by Delegate Pogue. And it was introduced because of what we just talked about. It was introduced because if a homeowner took an association to court for violating the Property Owners Association Act or violating the declaration and won, even though the statute said, well, the prevailing party is entitled to reasonable attorney fees, associations were saying, well, that doesn't apply to us, because the statute 55.515 of the Code of Virginia says, well, every unit owner and all those entitled to occupy a unit shall comply with all the lawful provisions of this chapter, that's the Property Owners Association Act, and all provisions of the condominium instruments or the homeowners association instruments. That's the way 55.515 starts. And the association would say, well, we don't occupy a lot, and so therefore we're not required to comply with this, and we're certainly not subject to attorney fees if a homeowner sues us and wins. If we, the association, on the other hand, sue a homeowner and win, why then the homeowner has to pay our attorney fees.
Because the homeowner is occupying a lot, and we're not, right?
Yes, that's right. Now, Delegate Pogue thought that wasn't the best interpretation of the legislation. He didn't think it was the intent of the legislation, and so he decided he was going to clarify it. And his change was simply to say that the declarant, that's the guy who founds the association, the unit owners association itself, and every unit owner and all those entitled to occupy a lot. So all he did was require the association itself, and of course its board of directors, to follow the law and to follow the governing documents. didn't seem very controversial.
No.
Seemed very...
Made sense.
Very, very common sense. And you see, sometimes common sense, as they used to say when I was in the Marine Corps, common sense is an uncommon virtue.
Yep. Those There's who, nothing common
those
about
who
it.
Those have been to the Iwo Jima Memorial know where that's taken from. Common sense is an uncommon virtue, and the bill introduced by Delegate Pogue was amended to strike out the words, the Unit Owners Association. Now, not to worry, because what they said at the end of the amendment, they put right at the end of this section, this section shall not preclude an action against the Unit Owners Association. Well, guess what? It never did. People, homeowners sued Unit Owners Associations all the time and won. And that's when the association said, well, see, we're not in there. We're not listed as somebody who's liable for attorney fees. And so you're not going to get any, or you're going to have to sue for them. And Delegate Pogue wanted to eliminate that, and he did, until they improved that by deleting his amendment.
Frank, what on earth were these people thinking? What on earth were they thinking?
It's very disconcerting, because if you're on the board of directors of a homeowners association where you and I have both served, and you're looking at something that people want to do that's controversial, if taking that action and doing something that's controversial has a substantial risk of exposing the association to attorney fees and getting into their treasury, they'll think twice. Now, we had a CAI lawyer representing our association, and the issue back in the early 1980s was, can the association fine people? We'll get to fines later on. Don't worry, folks.
Oh, yeah. They're coming. My favorite topic.
And we told the board, listen, there's nothing in the association governing documents or the powers of the association to fine. And, in fact, there's a Virginia Supreme Court case, Unit Owners Association versus Gilman, that's on SHU's website and that we've talked about many times on this show, that says that the power to fine is a governmental power, and the sovereign can't be preempted of that power, nor can the power be exercised except as prescribed in the Virginia and the federal constitutions, which means exercised by the judiciary. It can't be delegated by the legislature to a private entity. People didn't pay a lot of attention to that Virginia Supreme Court case. And they should know that that Virginia Supreme Court case was cited again recently. And the justice on the Supreme Court who cited it was Justice William C. Mims, who Shu and I met with when he was still a state senator.
I like Bill Mims.
And we talked to Bill Mims, and he understood completely what CAI was, who CAI represented. He understood that they didn't speak for homeowners. And he got the opportunity when he was on the Virginia State Supreme Court, and I believe he's still there, to handle a case where a homeowner won a lawsuit against an association and claimed attorney fees, and the issue went to the Supreme Court on this very issue, the interpretation of 55.515 of the Property Owners Association Act, which did not explicitly provide that if you're a homeowner and you win a suit against the association is liable for your attorney fees.
And which case was that, and, right?
Well, that was a case called, let me get to the front page here.
That wasn't Bat.
That was Manchester Oaks Homeowners Bat. Association versus Bat.
Yeah, Bat, okay.
Okay. And Justice Mims cited and discussed Gilman versus Unit Owners Association. And then he wrote the following. The Homeowners Association contends that the first sentence of the statute requires lot owners and occupants to comply with the declaration. The second sentence allows certain parties to bring an action against lot owners and occupants to enforce such compliance. And the third sentence allows the prevailing party in such actions to recover its costs and fees. But in this case, the HOA argues, it is neither a lot owner nor occupant of a lot, and therefore the plaintiff's action to enforce the compliance with the declaration is outside the scope of the statute.
Yeah.
The HOA position creates a patent imbalance under which the question of whether a lot owner or occupant is entitled under the statute to an award of costs and fees in a suit to enforce the declaration turns as much on whether the association is the enforcer or alleged violator as on whether the owner or occupant prevails. Under the HOA's interpretation of the statute, when an association sues a noncompliant owner or occupant and wins, it is entitled to the damages and other legal fees and equitable relief that it may seek, and an award of costs and fees as well. However, where the aggrieved lot owner or occupant successfully undertakes a seemingly quixotic quest to force an association to comply with its own declaration, he must bear the expense of litigation costs. Justice Mims goes on. We implicitly rejected this inequity 6 years ago in White. He's talking about a case called White versus Boundary Association.
Yeah.
And we expressly reject it today. While we held, in White, we held that Code 55515A allowed the owners and occupants as well as associations to recover litigation expenses resulting from successful suits to enforce compliance with a declaration. For the attorneys out there, that's reported at 271 Virginia at 57,624. Southeast 2nd at 9 and 10. The General Assembly is presumed to be aware of our interpretation. Its failure to express a contrary intention by enacting appropriate legislation is not only acquiescence, but approval.
Whoops.
That's until we had this improvement in Delegate Pogue's bill. Accordingly, White controls in Section 55515 entitles the plaintiffs to an award of attorney fees and attorney's costs. This would legislatively reverse the Supreme Court's interpretation in the White case, and that's what this piece of legislation is about. Money.
And I wonder who's coming up with all of these brilliant ideas. Brilliant. All right. What have we got next, Frank? We're halfway through the show almost, so we're going to have to. I know we've got.
The next one we've got to talk about is a bill from Delegate James LeMunyon. And this is House Bill 791. This bill, unfortunately for the homeowners of Virginia, passed the House of Delegates today. Unlike most of the bills that get to the House of Delegates, this thing didn't sail through. It was passed by for the day twice, on the 28th and 29th. And when it passed today, it passed with some significant opposition. The vote was 60 to 34 to pass it.
Frank, I have to take a break here and let people know that Delegate Scott Sorvall really fought very hard to try and kill this bill. And I want to publicly thank Scott for doing that. I really appreciate it.
Well, yeah, we all appreciate his efforts to try to keep some of the real injustice in this bill from getting through the House of Delegates. And this is one of the bills that I really, really hope that the Senate Committee on General Laws will not let the bad provision in this bill get through. And we'll talk about what that bad provision is after your break.
Well, that was the break. I just wanted to thank Scott publicly.
Yeah, right.
So, but you're on the Commons. We're talking to Frank Short, and this is Radio Fairfax. And that's our break, Frank.
Okay. This bill, 791, did not start out as a bill that mentioned fining at all. It was about giving an association the right to file an action in circuit court for injunctive relief. And we thought that was bad. We thought it was bad because the corresponding right was not given to homeowners. I said circuit court. I apologize. This was an action in district court.
District court.
And district courts in Virginia don't have general injunctive powers, but who's keeping track of things like that? The association would have been able to go into district court and get an injunction against the homeowner, if the association showed that the homeowner violated the governing documents. Well, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is there was no corresponding right accorded to the homeowner to go in and get an injunction against the association if the association violated the governing documents. That's what's wrong with it. What's sauce for the goose ought to be sauce for the gander. And that really bothered us. Delegate Lemunyan tried to get this thing through last year, and it imploded on him.
It should have imploded on him again this year, but it didn't.
Well, it should have imploded on him again this year because what they did was make it even worse. And remember, this was not in what I'm going to tell you right now was not in the bill when the bill was introduced. This was put in by an amendment in committee. So that if you looked at all the bills as they were introduced, and this one bothered you, but you saw that it didn't go through last year, and you said, okay, it probably won't go anywhere again, and I don't need to really keep track of it other than to see the status of the bill as mm-hmm. to see what's going on. Well, they amended it to give associations the right to fine, an additional, greatly expanded right to fine in the Property Owners Association Act. What the Act says now, and what has been interpreted by the courts, is that if your governing document expressly says that the Board of Directors can fine people, or expressly says that the Board of Directors can pass a rule for fining people, then it can fine people. But unless it's expressly in the declaration, association boards of directors are not to be in the fining business. Makes good sense. Associations are corporations. They should have the same rights as any other corporation in Virginia. Associations are parties to a contract. They should have the same rights to enforce the contract as anybody else in the state of Virginia. That means you go to a neutral forum, usually called the court, and you have to prove that the other party violated your contract, violated your governing documents, and a judge decides, not the association. But that was hard, and associations didn't want to have to go to court. They just wanted to fine people. And, of course, if you don't pay a fine, Shu, what happens? Fine gets treated as a what?
An assessment. Yeah, and
so now you're in the late fees, and now you're into the nonjudicial foreclosure CAI death spiral. That's what this is about. Again, money.
Yeah.
It's about the money. So how did they change the law that said, associations, you can only do this if the authority to do it is expressly in your governing documents? Well, we just said, boards of directors, you can do it. You can fine people and nonjudicially foreclose to collect the fine unless your governing documents expressly say you can't. Well, nobody thought that their governing documents ever had to say that. Nobody thought that their governing documents ever had to say any such thing. What does this set up? This sets up another constitutional challenge under Gilman, and somebody's going to bring it.
I hope so. I really and truly hope so, because I think these legislators, this year, Frank, they have been obnoxious, horrible, stupid, with a couple of exceptions. Absolutely outrageous.
Well, I mean, this is just wrong on so many fronts. It's unilateral. It's a unilateral change to every contract in every homeowners association or condominium association in Virginia. If you're a homeowner, the right that you had not to be fined by your association, unless that power was expressly in your governing documents, will be gone if this passes the Senate and the governor signs it. It has already passed the House. Nothing we can do about it there. But we'll be talking to some people tomorrow.
Yeah, we will. And folks, contact your senators. Contact their 40 senators in Virginia. Go online, find out who they are, and please write to them and tell them no.
There is a website that Shu and I have talked about before on the show where you can also go. And the name of the website is Richmond Sunlight. If you Google Richmond Sunlight, you'll get an immediate hit to it. And you can go there and you can look up any of the bills that we're talking about tonight. This is House Bill 791. And there's a place on that website where you can write a comment and it'll be published and other people can go there and read it.
Yeah.
And you can also, there's a place where you check a box. Do you think this, this bill should become law or not? And I don't think there were a whole lot of yes votes.
No.
For this thing to become law. And there ought to be a whole lot more no votes, in my opinion. But that is House Bill 791. And again, it is all about the bucks.
You know, it's just mind boggling. I just can't imagine what these people are thinking, Frank. What are they thinking?
Well, they're thinking of the pot of gold. They're thinking of the money.
The CAI's over there, Pietrangiani, who's over there saying, here, we need to do this. And they'll go, oh, okay.
Yeah. We need to do this. We need to take rights away from our homeowners because everybody knows that,
their children, they don't know what they need.
Yeah. And everybody knows that, well, you know, there's a lot more CAI people in Virginia than there are people who live in homeowners associations.
Right.
Once the people who live in homeowners associations figure this stuff out and start raising unmitigated hell about it, it's going to stop. And I'm surprised it hadn't stopped yet.
Well, I think a lot of people are afraid. They really honestly believe that HOAs protect their property values. Folks, they don't. They really and truly don't. It's a lie. It's a myth. So get over that.
Read the real estate ads. Places that are not in HOAs are selling for a premium. They're actually advertised as no HOA. Homeowners association.
Yeah.
And there's a reason for that. And, you know, part of this coalition that has, you know, played with CAI on this for all your realtors out there is the Virginia Association of Realtors. And they'll keep playing with CAI.
Oh, absolutely.
Until they see the prices fall out. And then all of a sudden their 6% commission won't be as high. Associations ought to have the right to take care of the common area. They ought to have the duty to take care of the common area. Period. And if they spent their time taking care of the frickin' common area instead of acting like kangaroo courts, we'd all be happier.
You know, we pay taxes. If we have common area, why don't we let our tax dollars take care of that?
I don't think Fairfax County would want our common area. Well, I don't think they'd want to come in and maintain our streets. And
just, they don't, you know, so. But they mandate these things. I mean, you know, again, I'm just fed up with the whole thing. The whole concept I don't think is workable at all. It's a failed experiment, Frank. It ain't going to work.
Last but not least, House Bill 690. Another unfortunate piece of legislation. This was introduced by Delegate Massey. And it started out, if you read the way this bill was described on the Virginia Legislative Information website, it was described as a bill that applied when there was to be a merger of two homeowners associations or two condominium associations. Special rules would apply. All right. So 99.9% of the people in Virginia who live in associations or condominiums could care less because they don't think that their association or their condominium is going to merge. So who cares what the rules are when they're going to merge? Well, there was a condominium provision and then there was a homeowners association provision about merger. In between them, we had another provision. And that provision was, oh, by the way, here's a provision about reformation of the declaration, judicial procedure. Does this apply only when there's going to be a merger of two associations or condominiums? No. This applies whenever the board of directors doesn't like what the declaration says, and they want it to say something else.
Mm-hmm. They want additional powers.
They never want to get rid of any powers. They never want to get rid of any authority over people. And right now, every declaration in Virginia, whether it's a homeowners association or a condominium, has a provision in the declaration to provide for a what? An amendment process.
Right.
Okay, board. You want more power? You got to ask the homeowners to vote it for you. The governing document is going to say, here's the authority of the boards of directors. Here's what you can do. Can you fine people? Sometimes it may say yes. Most times it's not going to say you can fine people. Well, we just saw how that was taken care of. Well, if it doesn't expressly say you can't, now you can.
Yeah.
What an improvement. But the boards always want more power. They always want more rulemaking power. White versus Boundary Association. They wanted all these additional authorities to regulate parking that they didn't have. We've seen that up here too.
Mm-hmm.
In a number of cases out of Fairfax County, one of which Shu and I are particularly familiar with. So what do you do as a board of directors when the homeowners won't give you the power you want? And you keep going to them and keep saying, hey, we need this power. This would be really good for us to have it. Here's how we'd help you. And the homeowners look at what you propose and they say something along the lines of, no, we don't want you to have that power. Well, what the association does now is they go to a judge. Do the homeowners have to authorize them to go to a judge? Oh, no. The board of directors decides to go to a judge. And that's what this new provision and House Bill 690 would permit. Reformation of a declaration, judicial procedure. It says, an association may petition the circuit court in the county or city wherein the development of the greater part thereof is located to reform a declaration. That means change. Change a declaration. Change a contract. Where the association, acting through its board of directors, has attempted to amend the declaration using provisions outlined therein to resolve, one, ambiguities or inconsistencies in the declaration that are the source of legal or other disputes pertaining to the legal rights and responsibilities of the association or its individual lot owners. Wait a minute.
Legal?
I have a dispute with my association about what the property rights section of the declaration says. They think it says one thing. I think it says something else. They try to amend the declaration to get it to say what they want. And the homeowners say, not so fast. We don't want it to say that. If we did, we'd amend the declaration. Get out. So the association goes to a court and they say, hey, judge, these childlike homeowners over here, they won't give us these authorities that you want. And the law says we can come to you and you can give them to us. Mm-hmm. So give them to us. The court shall have jurisdiction to reform in whole or in part any provision of a declaration. That means a court can unilaterally rewrite your property rights under a contract for a home that you've owned for 30 years. You thought you had a property right, you just lost it. Thanks to House Bill 690. Court can also correct mistakes or any other error in the declaration that may exist with respect to the declaration for any other purpose. I particularly like this next one. A petition filed by the association with the court setting forth any inconsistency or error made in the declaration or the necessity for any change therein shall be deemed sufficient basis for the reformation in whole or in part of the declaration, provided that, one, the association has made three good faith efforts to convene a duly called meeting of the association to present for consideration the amendments to the declaration for the reasons specified in subsection A, which attempts have proven unsuccessful. So the homeowner said no. As evidenced by an affidavit verified under oath by the principal officer of the association. Yeah, Judge, we tried three times to get these guys to give us more power, and they wouldn't. Two, there is no adequate remedy at law as practical or ineffective to attain the ends of justice as they may be accomplished in the circuit court. I sure hope that a judge will look at that and say, wait a minute, what does this have to do with the ends of justice? I sure hope so. Three, where the declarant of the development still owns a property or a lot or other property in the development, the declarant joins in the petition of the association. Because we sure want to protect the developer's rights, Shoe. We wouldn't want his property rights being changed.
Of course not.
It's just the homeowners,
you
see.
Of course not, yeah.
I wonder who wanted that provision in there. And finally, a copy of the petition is sent to all homeowners at least 30 days before the petition is filed, as evidenced by affidavit verified under oath by the principal officer of the association. Yeah, we told them all that we were coming to court, Judge, to get this changed. Copy of the petition is sent to all owners. Half of them probably won't even understand it. But the ones who had the chance to vote to give the board more power, they understood why they weren't giving the board more power. They made a decision not to sign something.
I can tell you, Frank, where this started. It was as a result of two lawsuits in Virginia. One of them was Lake Holiday and the other was Dogwood. And I talked to members of both of those associations. In both cases, there were rural associations, and they were not under the POA. And the board decided they wanted the powers that the POA conferred on associations. So they tried to throw their weight around. The homeowner said, "No, we don't want it." They tried to get it amended. They tried to amend the governing documents to do that. And the homeowners called me, Frank. Some of them, actually, I had people from Lake Holiday in here, and I had people from Dogwood. They said they didn't want the amendments. They did not want it. So there's a memo from Bob Diamond, who represents developers. And in that memo, he says that, I mean, he's quite specific about trying to prevent the same thing from happening as Lake Holiday and Dogwood, which is why if the homeowners don't know what's good for them, Frank, I would submit that the homeowners know exactly what's good for them. They don't want an association, not a property owners association. They had a different type of association. The association didn't have the powers. So to say that it was apathy, it wasn't. They did not vote. They did not vote for it. They did not want it.
Well, that's why these childlike homeowners shouldn't be able to interfere with the wizard-like brilliance of CAI, who, I mean, after all, Shu, who knows more about how to protect homeowners than the people who make their money by selling services to homeowners and finding homeowners, getting boards to find homeowners and, you know, racking up legal fees when there's litigation against homeowners, because CAI is not homeowners, folks. CAI is the service providers. It's the Trade Association of Service Providers.
And that's something that people need to understand. CAI does not represent the homeowner. And the legislators need to understand that. Do you think they know that, Frank?
I don't think that they know it.
You don't think they know it?
I don't think they know it.
You think they still believe it when CAI comes knocking and says, oh, we're here to represent the homeowners?
We're here, and that the legislators are getting educated about it. The legislators have got these guys figured out. But frankly, we've seen, going back to when House Bill 516 passed, I guess it was about 8 years ago, the influence of CAI is very significant and very disappointing. And the bill is going to come due, CAI. Stand by. We're not the only two people in Virginia who know who you are.
We've been talking about the pendulum swinging hard the other way, Frank. We've been doing that for years.
Well, sometimes things have got to get really dark before it starts getting bright. And when people see and start feeling the effect, what do you mean my association is now authorized to fine me? Where'd they get that? What do you mean you guys passed this? You know, how'd this ever see the light of day? Maybe we'll be able to stop it in the Senate. But if we don't, I think we're gonna reach the point where there'll be an equivalent to a Tea Party reaction in homeowners association by homeowners, because they're gonna have it, you know, up to their eyeballs with this, and they're just not gonna put up with it anymore. And these guys who have been putting through this kind of baloney are gonna be on the street.
I sure hope you're right. Homeowners, you don't have to take it. You really don't have to take it. We've got some time.
I'm just going to very briefly mention three other bills without going into detail about what's in them. They're worth a look at either Richmond Sunlight or the Virginia Legislative Information Service. The thread that runs through all three of these is the ability of the associations to charge fees to homeowners for various, you know, under various theories. When Shu and I were on the board in our homeowners association, we found out they had all kinds of these stupid fees over and above the regular assessment, which, you know, the amount of the regular assessment was set forth in the declaration. How you can compute the year-to-year increase in assessments was set forth in the declaration. It was a very closely controlled formula tied to the cost of living increase. The board said, well, we want more money. So they started charging fees for this, that, and the other thing, and we started asking questions. Where's the authority to charge this? And, of course, the fees were only charged to certain parts of the community. Well, if you live on a street that has a street light, we're going to charge you a street light fee. And if you live on a street that has a sewer, we're going to charge you a sewer fee. And then we're going to charge late fees. And I forget what other kind of fees they were charging, but one by one, we had them all thrown out. And on the one about sewers, we had it thrown out, with a copy to a postal inspector and a copy of the federal wire fraud statute sent to the president of the association. And there was no vote to throw it out. All of a sudden, they just stopped charging it, and I never figured out why. All right, so take a look at those three bills, House Bill 900, House Bill 260, and Senate Bill 386. And you'll see what we were talking about on those fee things. I guess that's about it for tonight.
Well, we've still got a couple of minutes here, Frank.
All right.
What would you recommend that people do?
Well, the first thing you have to do is get familiar with what this legislation is, how the bills have worked through. You can see the chronology of a bill at the Virginia Legislative Information Service website. Just Google in the term Virginia Legislature, and you'll get a link to that page. Then type in the bill number of any of the bills that we've talked about tonight, and those are House Bill 690, House Bill 791, House Bill 530, and what am I leaving out? House Bill 566. You can see every step of the process as to when they were introduced, who introduced them, when they went to the committee, what committee they went to, what the committee did to them, and you can see the text of the bill that was as it was introduced and as it was amended. And as I said, most of the damage in these bills came in the amendment process. They're, not that they were great when they were introduced, except maybe for Delegate Pogue's bill that would have required associations to file their own governing documents. But the damage was done in the amendment process, to even to the other ones that weren't great coming in.
So now everything goes on to the Senate, so we still have an opportunity to kill some of these bills, and I think there's nothing that's worth saving in any of those, is there, Frank?
No, I don't think so. Now, when they get to the Senate, they'll go to the Senate Committee on General Laws. On both the Richmond Sunlight website and on the Virginia Legislative Information website, you can get the name and email address of everybody who's on that committee, the General Laws Committee in the Senate. You could write them an email. Tell them what you think. If you can't wait for your board to have authority to fine you, even though your governing documents, don't give them that authority, have at it. If you think that your board of directors ought to be able to go in and get a judge to change your governing documents, even though you voted not to let the board do that, have at it. Sue and I will watch the values of home and homeowners associations go down. Yeah. Sign me up to be fined.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And the thing is, the legislators will tell you, but didn't you agree to that?
No. That's what they'll tell you. But you agreed to that. That's in your contract. And you'll say, no, it wasn't in my contract. You gave the board the authority to do something that wasn't in my contract.
Yeah. So that's, you know, again, don't buy that.
Yeah.
That's an easy out for them. Well, you agreed to this.
Yeah.
No, you didn't agree
to it. Sometimes you assume the risk that you're going to have idiots on a board of directors. You shouldn't have to assume the risk that the legislatures are going to give idiots on the board of directors more power than the governing documents give them.
Frank, thank you.
So, always fun, Sue.
It is fun. It's scary to think of what they've done. It's scary to think of what they're doing and what it means for the homeowners.
It is. So happy St. Patrick's Day a little bit in advance. And get on the phone, get on the email to the Virginia Senate Committee on General Laws, and let's start weighing in, folks. It's bad, but we can maybe stop it from being as bad as it is, and maybe if we get them on the right track, maybe next year it'll start making it better.
You think so, Frank?
I can only hope.
You can only hope. Well, Frank, thanks again. Thanks for joining us.
Always fun. We'll see you again, Sue.
Please. please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.